Hey there, fans of Brotherly Love Wrestling. It is I, Vic Delicious.
Philly's own, the Mecca here.
It is the real McCoy, J.D.X., Justin D. Xavier.
It's your man, C.D., the fallen angel, Christopher Daniels.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old friend, R.J. City.
Hey there, Brotherly Love Wrestling. Bill Carr here.
Hey everyone, this is two-time guest Wheeler Yuta.
Two bozos from Philadelphia flapping their gums about pro wrestling this, pro wrestling that.
Which is not that unique in the grand scheme of things yet.
You are in for a treat because you're tuned in to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
You have the talking point and the draft. I'm gonna need it, but just in case I need it.
Welcome everybody to Brotherly Love Wrestling, and on today's show we'll be talking about everything going on plus a couple new things mixed in thanks to Joe at the end of the show. So
I'm the fucking genius of the show.
You are the genius that gives us the ideas. Absolutely.
All right, so I wanted to start off this show with kind of like a statement and then like a almost like an open-ended question for you.
Okay.
So with Triple H in charge, we've been seeing kind of a resurgence in factions.
Yes.
In the WWE.
Yeah.
Where they kind of were just a little less. Vince hated teams, tag teams, any type of team. No teams together, unless you were a nostalgic team. You're only there for a couple months. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now with Triple H involved, you're starting to see teams, or more, well, tag teams for one.
Yeah, slowly.
Tag team wrestling is coming back.
Yeah.
But more or less factions, groups.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we know AEW is very faction heavy as well.
More the land of factions there.
Yes, where every other minute you're pretty much finding a new faction.
Mm-hmm.
But suffice it to say, my open-ended statement, maybe a true or false for you.
Yeah.
WWE seems to get it a lot quicker and utilizes their factions and how they do their factions a lot quicker and a lot more efficient and probably a lot more meaningful than AEW, whereas you're kind of getting a bunch of, maybe you have one like cohesive faction, but a lot of the factions are kind of mismatched and just mashed up. And for the most part, they kind of take away from the product in a sense, whereas WWE uses them in a way where they're not taking away from the product. They're more or less adding to it, and they're not trying to steal the spotlight with the faction.
All right.
Like, there's still the... There's
Do you still... want me to answer true or false?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or
you don't have to answer.
Well, just I mean...
Put your 2 cents.
All right. The way you worded that, as far as taking away and adding to, as far as the factions go, that I can't really... I don't know if I'm going to touch on that. But what I do want... Because, like, you said about the factions and AEW doing... Or WWE doing a better job than AEW. I think one that can stand out that they didn't actually multiple come to mind now that I'm thinking about it. And this was under Vince. So it's different retribution.
Well, I'm not talking about
that. But now under Triple H, Judgment Day. I don't think Judgment Day from inception, again, that was under Vince, but now it's under Triple H, and it has gotten better. I'll give that part to Triple H. But still, as a faction, it has a very weak Dominic Mysterio, who I still don't think is ready,
this about Dominic Mysterio, which I noticed last night after watching. They're embracing his goofiness and his his youngness.
The part there, where he said, "Yeah, I'll beat your face in or whatever."
I'll get to you in about an hour. They're making him blatantly like kind of childish and awkward and stupid.
I get that,
but it's gonna. I feel like that's gonna work for them. Like he's the immature one of the whole group, and that's gonna show through. Here, let me put it to you like this. I'll rally off faction for faction. Now, obviously, WWE doesn't have
the amount
that AEW has. So I'm going to try and put like an equilibrium.
Okay.
All right. So the Bloodline, unfair, but I will put it up against the British Combat Club. As I would say, faction for faction, top faction, top faction. Now I can swap out the BCC and put in Jericho's Appreciation Society.
I like where you went with BCC instead.
But I still think Bloodline wipes either one. When it comes to importance, who they are, interchangeable parts, and how much better this individual intertwined storyline going on within the whole Bloodline. I think everything about the Bloodline, top dog, I think Roman's better than
he's Moxley. He is more of a superstar than Moxley. I will give you that.
Yes, but when I watch Roman's matches, especially as of late, I want to watch them so much more than I want to watch Moxley's.
But not because he's such a great wrestler.
No, but because
he's a great entertainer.
Yes, because his storylines and everything that goes into his character is better.
Yes.
I don't care about like when it I will say this right now on this show, and this will be the first time that I've ever said this.
I think I know where you're going. Go ahead.
But when it comes to the actual wrestling, I can do without it if the storyline and everything that goes into it gets me to that. Like I don't need to see a 5-star match if everything that led up to it was above 5 stars.
You're good seeing the 5 moves of doom if the story has gotten you to that point. Like if it's a phenomenal story. Yeah, but even with
Roman, like I feel like the match quality is still top notch. Like even like if it's not
for the WWE style.
Yeah, but even if you were to take Brock and Roman, mm-hmm. the one where they fucking destroyed everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You could put that anywhere. That's amazing. Roman hasn't been Edge and fucking Daniel Bryan, when he was Daniel Bryan, like that was top notch. Like he's been, I mean, it might not be as many times as anybody else, but that also goes into it. He's the spectacle. He's made to feel like he is the most special person in that whole company.
And that's WWE's way. That's exactly how they present their stars. But AEW doesn't present their stars like that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Sometimes less is more.
I agree.
And sometimes not overexposure, but just the right amount of exposure is what's needed. But also that your backups can carry the load when you're not there.
Okay, you know what?
And if Moxley wasn't on the show, I'll put the Usos, Sammy, and Paul Heyman, unfortunately, over Bryan Danielson, Yuta, Cesaro, and Regal.
Okay, wait. I'm going to challenge you right there.
Okay.
Stop right there.
I will.
Bryan is better than Jay and or Jimmy.
Okay, in the ring. But period. I think, again...
And so is Cesaro, for that matter.
That's fine. Claudio, whatever. We're
I'm sorry. I'm so used to that.
No. Yes, Claudio. You're taking it.
Well, I'm breaking it down.
Yeah, you're breaking it down on the wrestling way.
Yes.
But I will put it to you like this. Everything that's going on with the Usos and Sammy, still more interesting than anything BCC has going on. Because they've intertwined their whole...
Well, look, story, I get... Yeah. 100%. The Bloodline story going on, I agree.
Yes, but that's so good that their matches are great too. Like, that's what they have going for them. It doesn't have to be, like I said, it doesn't have to be a 5-star match as long as it's entertaining. But if you're getting overly entertaining matches with storyline, I think it's hard to beat.
I agree with you. Like, those things I agree with you on. But when you talk factions and as far as star power and who I want to see, I like The story itself, I agree with you. That I agree. Because there's no, because there is no story with the BCC. There's no story there.
Not a strong enough story to keep me.
The only story they have right now going is Yuta MJF a little bit.
MJF's also intertwined with Moxley,
too. Yeah. But they had that little bit and Moxley as well. And then they had Jericho and Bryan with the whole ROH thing. Cesaro, he's been doing...
Claudio.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
That's only because
Son I... Son of a first. Bitch. Yeah. Claudio, I mean, after he lost the ROH title to Jericho, it kind of watered him down a little bit, and now he's pushed to the back burner. Regal is Regal. He's not on the mic as much as Heyman is.
He's not playing the character. He commentates throughout every one of their matches.
He commentates, yes, but as far as contributing, as far as they're two completely different styles of the manager, the handler, whatever you want to call it.
Heyman's better.
Heyman is better. Oh,
you could just say that.
I'm not trying to avoid that.
If we're going, I'm not trying to avoid that. If we're going tit for tit. Yeah, that's right. I said it.
Okay.
And if we're going into every part of the faction, Heyman's so good
that
he kind of washes out. He takes a lot of check. He's so good, and he's so must watch and listen to that I kind of put that as like an over the top. Like that puts them over the top by a lot. Like the Roman star power factor, or the Roman story, and the Roman how long he's held the title, and the everything that goes into. He's the leader of the best faction.
Yes,
and I'm sounding like overly WWE on this one.
You are.
I am, but here's the thing. If I go down the list, they become less watered down on the WWE side and more watered down on the AEW side. That's the problem. Like, it's more quality.
Well, and I think I know why, or I would like to explain why I think they are. It's because this is a wrestling company. What AEW wants to be. They want to be for that hardcore wrestling fan.
But who doesn't?
That's what they... Well, look,
do they?
We know that they're more entertaining.
As much as they push Jericho?
Yeah.
Look, I don't care if he's the Lionheart again. You're there to watch him be entertaining. You're not there... Like, if you're there to watch those lion salts and all that craziness that he tries to do that he shouldn't be doing anymore... By all means, good for you. But Jericho is an entertainer.
No one's going there to see a Jericho match. I agree.
But the wrestlers, that's why the
indie people, the indie fans
are there.
Well,
if I'm going to go wrestler for wrestler, I'm still putting Seth Rollins on the top of both companies.
Well, now you're getting way out of there. We're talking about factions.
Yes, I know. We're talking factions, but if you want to go
wrestling... How did I fucking get into defending AEW?
Because that was the whole point of this. Because if we both piled on one end, then it wouldn't have made for interesting conversation.
I mean,
you had to pick a side. I unfortunately kind of played into what side you had to pick.
Yeah.
But strategically, I finally did it.
All right. So let me go a next level down. So I'm not going to argue with
you. We don't have to. No.
I want one more shot at this.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was right on the first one. Go ahead.
Well, no, because I had more in my head after the Bloodline and BCC when you went there. A faction now, because I want to know what the next faction you think is atop the WWE factions.
I mean, and unfortunately, they're not at full strength, but the New Day and New Day takes out whoever the hell else next you're going to say. New Day wipes them.
Resume 1000%.
Yeah, but if you're going to go for the whole in ring thing again, you're not talking about a bunch of slouches.
No, I would never say that about those.
And you're talking about personality and entertainment. And I mean, if you're talking about complete, whatever you want, the total package, Lex Luger.
You almost got me on that one.
Oh, I know. And I waited for the perfect time. I'm going New Day over whoever you throw out. But if
all
I'm
right, going first with, of all, that's a tag team. I'm not going faction because Big E hasn't been there.
No, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't put that one like because they're not at full strength.
Yeah,
but that would have been unfortunately that would have been my next pick. But I mean, if I'm going the club or if I'm going the what the hell is their name again?
Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. I mean, yeah, it's not as significant, but it's not supposed to be.
Well, and that's the thing is like that's where WWE is still building those.
Yes, but they already
the factions.
They already feel like they mean more. That's what I'm saying. Like they like the ones that they're building. I feel like there's consistency, and I feel like they're putting together storylines, and they're doing things the right. Like I know I'm sounding like an old fart. Like the whole storyline thing, though. But when it all comes down to it, WWE's doing what I like. Like, yes, don't get me wrong. I like to see a top-notch wrestling match time and time again. But what I've always fell in love with when it comes to wrestling is not the in-ring work.
It's the storytelling.
It's the storyline and everything going. As sometimes crazy as it might be, some storylines, I still like it. And I'll fucking throw one out there even more. A fucking Bayley's crew. I'll put them at fucking one of the top spots over a lot of the male groups in fucking...
Well, they can't be over JAS. Jericho is way better. Jericho's squad is way better than Bayley's.
And I'll give you this.
Because Bayley's the only one who can talk.
I'll give you that. And I'll give you that they are running an interesting storyline with the whole BCC. Like, they're kind of...
And I love Jericho
intertwined a lot. And Daniel Garcia plays a big role in
that. Yes.
And I like that.
I agree. I like Daniel Garcia. I love this whole thing.
And I'm not saying that I don't like it. I'm just saying what I like more and what I think is better. I'm not saying that I don't like some of the stuff that AEW does, because I do. It's just not as much right now as WWE's doing. Like, I went from, like, not being able to even tolerate Raw to being like, I kind of really want to watch it. Like, I'm upset when I miss it.
Yeah.
And that's the feeling I want. Like, if I fall asleep midway through Dynamite, or if I don't even make it to Rampage, I don't feel like I missed all that much, because I feel like they try to get you with the, it's big into the wow factor. Like, this has to happen. It has to be huge. It has to be big. And I think that's a lot of the stuff that WCW did, where they weren't playing the long game. They were just trying to hit you with the wow factor. Like, but WWE's kind of doing the slow burn build, and they're not giving you, like, a monumental thing that needs to happen right away. They're not even giving you main title matches on TV. Like, they're saving them. They're making them special. And I get, like, that's the whole...
Well, and first of all, they better not with 12 fucking pay-per-views, or 13 pay-per-views, or 14 pay-per-views, how many they have. AEW only has the quarterly pay-per-view. They only have four. So, yes, AEW has to give you
here's the thing,
TV title match. They have to.
Here's the thing, though. They don't need to do main title. They can do...
Every now and then they do.
They can boost that goddamn women's division and actually have some titles mean shit over there.
I agree with that. They
can do all the other fucking mid championships that they have now. They have the TNT title. They have the Mid-Atlantic Pacific title. They have... tag titles, they got trios titles,
TBS.
They have fucking ROH titles. They have so many titles that they need people to actually, it's the same people every fucking week. And I feel like it's almost the same thing every week. And that's starting to get like, without their wow factor, they don't have the right storytelling. They don't have good storytelling over there. Like, their most interesting story, and they kind of almost muffed it up to where it's not as interesting anymore, and it had potential to be very, very good, is Christian and Jungle Boy. Like, I feel like they dropped the ball with that. I feel like the payoff wasn't that great. I feel like the story had went from, like, okay, hyper-focused to not so much. Hobbs and fucking Starks. Like, I thought that was great. And
that
they fucking
off.
They washed that right under the rug. As soon as MJF came back and Punk was gone, like, they it's almost like they had some storylines right there and they fucking felt the pressure, so they went right back to their safety net.
Yeah, but I think Punk going nuclear obviously hurt them as far as creative plans.
Going back to the well time and time again with Moxley and just like running Moxley into the fucking ground.
I had no choice.
You want to talk about the double-edged sword that is professional wrestling? When Roman was doing it, you were getting shoved down your throat. But now Moxley's getting shoved down your throat, but you're just accepting it. It's the same thing. Like, you have so much other talent that isn't being utilized properly. And okay, you have Dark and Dark Elevation. That's great, especially if you're going to bring in like some of the indie people and like it's almost like a tryout thing.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
But when you're going to main TV and you're just doing the same thing and the same, like, I get it. But sometimes storylines need to breathe, but attention spans are a thing too. Like, if you're going to somehow weave your way back into some of these storylines, like, I mean, don't make it like a month or two later, because I've already stopped caring. Like, that's the thing. Like, my attention span's gone. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't want to play the fucking long game with, like, it's not on TV, but there's like a backstage segment like once every 3 weeks. Like, okay. Like, that's not that interesting. We know where your time is divvied. We know exactly where the time is divvied.
And all this
And a lot of the time is divvied to the same people every single week.
But you're also they're doing all this without a Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Young Bucks, Omega, CM Punk. Like,
so when they come back, everyone that you just named, maybe not Punk, but anybody that comes back, you've just pushed substantially down the line how many other people. And now you really do truly get the same thing every single week. I get it. The big draws are the Bucks, Omega, Cole.
All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
The guys that put the name in that.
Yeah. Cover. I mean, look, who gets bumped? Because you know who's taking up TV time every week.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a 2-minute segment, that's still cutting into your TV time.
Yeah.
There's just less time for everybody else. It's just, I feel like they're doing a good enough job with standing or sustaining everything.
And you didn't even touch on, as far as pillars go, you didn't touch on Darby. You didn't touch on Sammy Guevara.
I don't like Sammy Guevara.
I know you don't. But whether you like it or not, he's one of the young top wrestlers that they have.
I mean, I still see Darby getting his TV time here and there. Like, I still still think he's one of the quote unquote pillars, and they're just not a strong enough pillar to carry a company yet.
Yeah,
MJF is probably above and beyond the strongest pillar that they have, and someone that could be interchanged into anything at any time and make it work. He is their most, but he doesn't need to do that in the ring, does he?
No, he doesn't.
And although, that just goes down.
He did look fucking phenomenal
his match. Here's the thing. I don't think that his matches are bad. I think they're very good. But what I think adds to his matches is that he's got something going with everybody that he has a match with.
Yeah.
And he's that good. He plays to the crowd. He plays to, like, he is making it a show.
Mm-hmm.
He's not making it a 5-star wrestling match. No matter what you want to give him, rating wise, if you want to make up a rating,
yeah,
it's what did he do? He talked you into the building.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did.
Yeah, every time
he talked you into buying that ticket, he talked you into wanting to see him either win or get beat up. He did that by putting on the show.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, even with people like Wardlow, because
people
and
want
FTR.
The show.
Yeah, but they're wasting people like Wardlow and FTR and Samoa Joe.
They're wasting a lot of people right now. They have probably 80% of a roster that probably isn't being utilized properly. 40% of that might be the women's roster in itself. You're having tag teams and, I mean, people that were really white hot, that like Kingston, like Eddie Kingston. Like, Eddie Kingston is another one of those guys. He's made everything that he's done more interesting because of how he talks and how he presents himself.
Mm-hmm.
He puts on the show. Even though sometimes when he speaks, it might not look like a show, it might seem sincere, he's still putting on the fucking show.
Yeah.
He's still talking you into wanting to see him.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about. Because Eddie Kingston hasn't put on a fucking 5-star match in AEW or I don't know. This is no slight at fucking Eddie Kingston, because he's amazing. But
it's the same type match.
It's a slugfest, barn burner. Like, let's beat the shit out of each other.
But that's what you expect from Eddie Kingston.
Yeah,
you
know, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
He's 5-star at doing that.
Yes. Yeah.
So I wanted to bring it back, though. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves or away from. I want to bring it back to factions.
Okay.
And I want to talk about something different.
All right.
I don't want to talk about something that could end up being the best faction in all wrestling, but we don't know. And I'm talking about the Wyndham Six.
Talking the Wyatt about Six.
The Wyatt Six.
Yes.
Yeah. My mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if this is going to be either a faction of the same person, just different characters, which personally I think would be amazing.
I think that's where we're leading with this from the past Monday night.
I think if we get that, I think that's the most creative faction to ever be brought together. It's almost like the Three Faces of Foley, except darker, edgier, a little crazier, if that's even possible. But we don't know if it could be the Wyndham Six, could be him bringing in other people. That in itself would has the making for an incredible, depending on who's coming in, it could be an incredible faction, very dark and ominous faction, which would be crazy, which would pretty much put, what's their name again? Judgment Day?
Judgment Day.
That would put them out of business.
Yeah, of course.
But where we don't know if it's just going to be a single person controlled by some other higher power. We don't know what the hell's going on.
Which one would you prefer?
See, I love Bray Wyatt. I've loved everything creatively that he has tried to put together and pull off. I've loved everything that he's done. He's just... Here, I want to throw this out there.
Okay.
When do we put him in the conversation for the best reinventing himself ever? Like, where, like, I know everyone says, and we've said it too, that Jericho is the king of reinventing himself. But if you look at Jericho reinventing himself, it's kind of just a tweak here and there. It's like,
I don't think it's necessarily reinventing himself. Yeah, I think it's the wrong way to go with Jericho.
Yeah, but when you come to Wyatt, like, this isn't just tweaks. This is like a complete overhaul. But you still see the same person. It's just like in a completely different way. Like, when does he go into that conversation of like and reinventing himself? Taker was decent at it. He was good. He had some big integrations of himself.
I think Taker right now, when if you want to say reinvent, if you want to use that word, I think Taker is one. I think I'm going to put Jericho up there too, because he did go through several different, like, phases. Later in his career, they were tweaks. But, like, going from Lionheart in Mexico and, of course, in starting in Canada down and then going to Mexico to be Lionheart, then coming in as Chris Jericho and running through WCW and doing the Man of 1,001 Holds and all that shit, coming in as Y2J, going from Y2J, and he had two or three different departures where when he cut his hair, he came in with the suit. He had the Save Us code with the Codebreaker Jericho. Like, he had those ones that were actual reinventions.
And I mean, then, the list is by far my favorite.
But then that's where it is. It was the scarf. It was the coat. It was the list. You know what I mean? Then it went to AEW, and it was Le Champion. Like, you know what I mean? Those are the tweaks.
He just got goofy and silly.
Yes. But he did have reinvention. So I'm going to put Jericho at two. And honestly, Wyatt still, I think, needs some time. He needs to be able to be there for a while. Like, yeah, he was in WWE for a while for his first run, but he wasn't creatively treated like he probably should have been. And what a lot of us...
He wasn't given the Taker treatment.
No, but what a lot of us...
Or even the Jericho
believe he's going to get now with Hunter. So this could be the defining role.
Like, if he's given, like, the reins and, like, he's just let go, we could see something like we've never seen before.
Yes.
And that's what's exciting about this.
Yes.
Like, we could honestly see something like, oh, yeah, it looks familiar. It looks like the same guy. But, we don't know. That's the greatness of Bray Wyatt, is we don't know. People are speculating. We think we have an idea. But when it all comes down to it, this is one of those things that you just, like, all right, you're just going to have to sit and watch.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
And it's going to be slow. And it's going to take time.
And it's
going to
get, like, weird and crazy. Like, that's what's exciting about it. Like, it's completely different than anything we're seeing.
Ever. And I can't compare much to it because it's so different.
Yeah.
Who are your Wyatt Six? If you're bringing in other wrestlers.
I mean, I'd have to go selfish.
I would go selfish.
We agree. I'd bring the Righteous over. All of them. Oh, yeah. I'd bring Bateman, too. I'd go Vincent, Dutch, and Bateman.
What about Vita?
If you want her, the only thing is I think Sister Abigail is going to be someone with more of a name. Because if you're going to bring in the Righteous, albeit very popular in some towns, they're not they're not nationally recognized. I would think
they got a bump with Impact.
Yeah, that's true, but still not at the level as if you were to have someone convert like a Liv Morgan. And have her be the dark woman of the group. I think she brings the pedigree with her. She's a recently former champion.
Mm-hmm.
And she's starting to get weird as it is.
So we got Bray. We got Bateman. We got Dutch. We got Vincent. We got Liv.
And I think just for S's and G's, you bring Rowan back.
Okay. All right, I thought that's where you were going to go with it. Okay.
I liked Rowan.
I didn't have a problem with him. I thought he was pretty good.
I didn't like Rowan by himself.
Yes.
Having creative try to do things for him because it just made him goofy.
Yeah.
I liked him when
you you didn't like the animatronic spider in the the cage?
No, I didn't.
You didn't like that? No. Okay.
I liked him when he was with Wyatt, and I think he flourishes with Wyatt, with a leader. With a partner.
So, okay, I'm going to a couple of them I agree with. A couple of them I want to replace.
Okay.
I would take Bateman out. No offense to Bateman, but I want to go to that name thing. Now, I feel like Dutch obviously has worked for the WWE before. Probably still has contacts in WWE. Vincent, I've seen on several occasions Wyatt has retweeted or he has and had interactions with him. I'm sure he knows who Vincent is because Vincent is
the Hurricane.
Yeah, of course. So Vincent and Dutch for sure. I bring Nikki A.S.H. in as the Sister Abigail. We've seen her, Nikki Cross, be amazing in Sanity if you watch her in NXT before they ruined her on the main roster. I would bring her as Sister Abigail because I feel like she can pull it off. We've seen her be crazy and out of her mind and could do it.
She fits the bill.
Yeah. The other person I am bringing along, obviously Bray Wyatt will be a part of it. The other person, which is, I think is the obvious choice, is Bo Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's Bo. I think it's Vincent, Dutch, Nikki A.S.H., Bray. And you still have that one spot to where I could Rowan, I could see because I'm up in the air with that last spot, but I kind of want to bring someone younger. I know he kind of used it as a troll and it was a little, and he did it to make fun of people, but I really want Grayson Waller from NXT to come up and be a part of this because that Mercy the Buzzard, I want him to be that character. I want him to be a part of it. I think he's very good at what he does. He's a great heel. He's pretty damn good in the ring. And I think you need to look to the future. You need to build people. Throw him in there with all those veterans and let him build. So I think those would be my people if we're going with the Wyatt Six.
Either way, no matter who it ends up being, I'm not completely sold on my list anyway. I like your list. I'm just excited to see what is going on.
I feel like even though that's what we want, and I think originally that's what a lot of people thought with the Wyatt Six, I feel like it's going to be more of a Wyndham being tortured by these Wyatt Six, or Bray Wyatt, of course, being tortured by these Wyatt Six. I think you're going to get a lot of him trying to cut these promos, him keep coming out and trying to say thank you and trying to be this new man and show you who he really is. And you're going to have
What if it does this, everything that you're saying, and it turns into the Wyatt Six?
Which I'm cool. That's cool. But I think at first you need to torture him a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. He needs to be that tortured soul like they're doing. Sure.
Not only that, but it keeps, Like, he doesn't even need to wrestle right now.
No.
He doesn't even need to be in the ring. He's a spectacle.
Although, I don't like that he's stuck. Not stuck. They're keeping him on SmackDown as far as coming out and doing his thing. I did not like being on Raw, waiting for it to see what happens on Raw, and just, here's what happened when he came back. And I get it. Fox, I'm sure, loves that they get to hold that. But
I like that they're actually taking shots at each brand now. Like they're saying, you want to be a part of the other brand, or he had to run away to the other brand. Like they're making it kind of like a competition. Like, we're not in competition with anybody else. We're in competition with each other.
Yes.
I always like that.
Back to the old style. And leading towards Survivor Series. We're coming towards Survivor Series. So it's good right that they're doing that.
Right now, they're not even like – right now, they're focused 100% on Saudi.
Yes. Of course.
They have know what's funny about that is that they've made it a lot more interesting card than it has any right to be.
Yeah. More than any of the past.
Like, he's not really bringing, like, his big callback was Brock, and I'm okay with Brock and Lashley because it's not for anything. They're just going to beat the shit out of each other.
That's all anyone wants to see.
Wanted.
Yeah,
that's all we wanted Brock to come back for. We didn't want him to. Although this new Brock, I will say, new Brock favorite Brock of all time.
Yeah,
the happy-go-lucky. I'm going to pander the shit out of the crowd, even though they probably know I don't want to be near them.
Yeah.
That Brock I love.
Me too.
He went out of his comfort zone for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell, but he was having a good time, it seemed like.
Ever since Boombox Brock. Like, when he did the Boombox
since he broke for R-Truth.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I feel like he's like, all right, well, fuck it.
He just
caught me.
For the first time, and I think this was always my biggest problem with Brock Lesnar and why I always disliked Brock Lesnar. He looks like he's having fun.
Yeah.
He looks like he wants to be there and enjoys to be there.
You're making $6 million to make a couple appearances. I'd be having fucking fun.
I mean, it's a whole different story. But, like, yeah, it looks like he's having fun. So then I want to watch you. I want to watch you perform. I don't want to watch a guy that there's no smile. He walks down. He stands there. He doesn't say shit. Granted, he's impressive. He can beat people up. I can see people getting beat up. That's no thing. But to see a guy who you see his personality, you see him having fun, you see him laughing, you see him in
driving a
clips, you see him in clips on TikTok and all, fans breaking his character when he's standing ringside and doing shit. That's what people want to see. You want to be a little bit more relatable. I know you hate or you don't like people, you don't like crowds, but doing shit like that endears you to the fans, sells more merch, makes more money, puts more people in the seats to see you. So I think Brock, this Brock, I agree. Favorite Brock by far. It's not even close.
All right. I don't want to go down the road of where we talk about the Saudi show, so we'll save it for another time. Maybe for after it happens. But didn't want to get too far off into a tangent over fucking the Crown Jewel or the Saudi show or anything like that. But what I wanted to do was a kind of mini mock draft. And being that it's the time of the year for Halloween, and if anyone's seen the TikTok five-person drafts, five versus five, starting five, I wanted to do the starting five Halloween-y, creepy, scary gimmicks all time in wrestling.
Sort of like our Essential Series, only condensed. Very slimmed down.
Yeah, yes. Condensed, but maybe even more entertaining. Who knows?
So,
let's put it this way. It's already been pretty entertaining for me. And that will be an inside joke because no one will ever know what the hell we're talking about. But being as it, I am such an incredible human being and a great philanthropist, I've decided to give you first pick.
I don't know if you used that word right.
Well, to each his own.
All right.
Only the good die young.
I get the number one pick of the creepiest, scariest gimmick.
There is really, literally
one.
Only the one that comes to mind. It's probably the most solid pick you can make.
That is The Undertaker at number one. For sure.
You can't be disappointed drafting number two because you knew who the number one overall pick was going to be. You did.
You have to
strategize for after the fact. Mm-hmm. And for after the fact, if I were to let you have both of these two, I might not be able to put together a team strong enough to beat you. So I'm taking the other brother. Kane, I'm taking Kane. But
you mean you're taking the brother, not the other brother?
Yes, the brother. Shut the fuck up. I'm taking Kane. Okay.
That is Kane. I'm honestly like,
there's.
It surprises me that you pick Kane number one.
Here's what I'm thinking: is that you have a strong pick. I have to strategize around you. I can't let you have Undertaker and Kane.
Okay.
I mean,
I get that.
I get who the next picks are. Like, I know who's up there. I know who's still on the board. Mm-hmm. And I know who's a solid number one, and number two, and number three. And there's some good ones that you can intermix in there. Unfortunately, I didn't draft first.
Mm-hmm.
So, that being said, I think I have an idea.
My number two?
Yeah.
Is The Fiend.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going scary, I mean, honestly, I would eliminate all Bray Wyatt after that because it doesn't.
I agree.
It's not fair.
That's why Fiend, I said it the way I said it. I didn't say Bray Wyatt. I said the Fiend
is the scariest, or is introduced as the scariest Bray Wyatt, I think.
I agree.
So you've got scary and bone chilling taken care of. Mm-hmm. That means I need to get fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And who's creepier than the fucking Boogeyman?
Very good point.
And made me physically ill watching him several times. And I still get queasy. I still don't like watching it. I just don't like watching it. I never liked watching it. I still cannot stomach the fucking worms. It makes me fucking sick. Even thinking about it right now, I'm starting to fucking gag. So
it's amazing.
I'm going to leave him on. Taker, Fiend, 1-2 combo. I think coming in there overly creepy, I think that helps me. Disgusting. Yeah. I got the disgusting factor down pretty well.
Yeah, I got more legit scared, scaring kid children.
So
gimmicks.
We go to your number three, and I have a feeling I know who you're not picking.
Yeah, I'm going more Halloweeny. Oh. Like we said,
Halloweeny. Yes.
And going more like you said, it's gimmicky. It's Halloweeny.
Yes, it doesn't necessarily have to be. It could still be a strong character.
And one of the guys I thought was disgusting in watching him was Isaac Yankum DDS. I love Glenn Jacobs as Isaac Yankum. Right. His disgusting ass teeth with Jerry Lawler being with him. I loved that.
So I'm going to say this. I have the stronger of the gimmicks. Just going to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
You took the lesser gimmick on that one.
Yes.
But
of those two, absolutely. But
I mean, he falls to me. I got to take him. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to continue with the creepy and weird and bizarre,
mm-hmm.
the first integration, the mind games, Mankind. I think that as solid gets falling into the third round, I think Mankind's a steal. I think mm-hmm. he adds fucking depth.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just fucking tricks and fucking really just fucking befuddles your team so much that they don't know what the fuck's going on. And then they look at fucking Boogeyman, and they're just like, well, this fucking team's gross. Kane's not saying a damn thing.
Pretty good pick, yeah.
Sounds like a broken lawnmower.
My fourth pick.
All right. This is where we make or break the draft.
I'm going to go with Papa Shango.
All right. Papa Shango was also on my board. He was mixing around. He was up at the top. He was not at the top. I kind of flipped it around. I'm going to. And here's where my dilemma comes. I have three or four that can go in a different way. And I don't know who I want to save for my last pick. Because if I let them slide, then I might be upset. But I do have a good one to come back with. But this, for this pick to fall this far, and if I'm going to go dark and ominous.
Okay.
He fell. He mm-hmm. fell four.
Mm-hmm.
Crow Sting.
All right.
I just took a top notch gimmick and just put it right into the four slot. I got fucking the 3-4 hitter. If I'm going to top five lineup, Mankind's Crow Sting. I mean, I think I just made up for, and now I can hope that this last one will round out the board well for me. But you have another pick.
So my fifth pick. I'm going to go with gonna go with Gangrel.
Oh, good pick. That's a good pick. He was tossed around in the four slot for me. Fuck, that's a really, really, that's a solid fifth pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, fuck, very solid fifth pick. Man. Fucking vampire. All right. So I'm going last overall pick. Got to round out my squad. So I'm going to bring it back to my childhood and who scared the living shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I have two.
Okay.
But I'm going Abdullah the Butcher.
I thought about Abdullah too.
And I'm going to sheer fucking scariness, like nightmare type shit. And I don't know, whoever's watching out there, listening land, wherever you might be getting this podcast, if you want to say who won, although I think it's me. If you want
one to, more.
All right.
One more.
One more what?
One scary gimmick manager.
Scary gimmick manager?
Yes. Creepy outside the ring manager.
All right. Who you got?
Paul Bearer.
I mean, that's almost not fair. I'm pretty sure Luna Vachon managed fucking Bam Bam. So yep. I'm going Luna.
Honestly, that would have been my other pick. Yeah. Would have been Luna. Luna would have been.
I don't know, man. I still think you got a pretty good squad.
You do. Absolutely. I think both are pretty damn competitive.
It is a very good draft. Good, yes. Good job on your first draft. Your hands are mighty sweaty right now.
Yes. All I do is give off heat. What can I say?
Now I know why we don't do this on a regular basis. But if you have any suggestions for our top five next gimmick draft, mm-hmm. feel free to hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah. Is that a question mark after Facebook?
I don't keep track of Facebook. I know we have an Instagram.
We do have
an Instagram. Do we still have Snapchat?
We do not have a Snapchat.
Good. Don't fucking mess on Snapchat.
We do have it, but again, this is going to be up on TikTok. So we check out us on TikTok.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. BLW215. Go give us a follow on TikTok where you will find our list and more of these drafts or gimmicks, among other things, I'm sure. So we hope
maybe guests.
Yeah, maybe. We hope you enjoyed the show and we'll be talking to you very soon.